Well, hello everyone. I have Leandro Cabrini with me today. Hello, Leandro.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
No worries. And we're here to actually talk a little bit about digital marketing, how to market wine brands and wineries in the digital space. And I thought, when I was thinking about this topic, I said, who could I get who is really, you know, the perfect person? And then I realized, like, okay, that must be you, because, you know, you have a digital marketing agency and you're also representing wines, your own wines, essentially, in the UK. So I think you are probably the best person to discuss this with. Well, before we go into anything, shall we introduce ourselves a little bit? Because probably some people don't know you or some people don't know me. So go ahead and tell us about yourself a little bit before we head into the topics.
Perfect. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Leandro Cabrini. I was born in Argentina and I've been working in wine. Now that we're talking about wine, I'm going to talk about my wine experience. So I've been working in wine for my whole life. Mainly because I come from a wine family, so my family owns a winery in Argentina, in Mendoza. It was founded by the grandfather of my grandfather, so and it's now kind of managed by my father and my uncle. So I've been in wine since I was born, basically. I've seen the good and the bad. It's a lot of, it sounds very sexy, but it's a lot of hard work behind actually running a winery, a small family winery. You know, we're talking about a very small family winery, but, you know, it's been running since 1918. So it's been a little bit over 100 years. We're very, very proud of that. So, yeah, I've been, you know, connected with wine since I was born. Then I lived in Mendoza until I was 22. Then I moved to Buenos Aires. And then I lived in Buenos Aires for 3 years. We were also doing some work with the winery there. And then I moved to the UK, to London, in 2015 when I was 25. And when I came to the UK, obviously, I kind of, like, I didn't know anyone. I'd never been in Europe before. So I kind of said, like, okay, what can I do? You know, the only thing I know is wine. So let's go and work in a wine bar. So I started working in a wine bar. Then I worked for a wine importer. And then at the same time, I was also doing some events for different wineries, some from Argentina, some from other countries. And then events in terms of, like, I was a brand ambassador for them. And then I also founded my agency, which started as a wine specialist social media agency at the beginning. That was 2017.
That's Brist, right?
That's Brist, yeah. It was called Wildest Media before, because we were only working with wine brands, but then we started expanding to other industries. So we rebranded, but we've been always connected with wine. We still work with lots of wine companies. And so, yeah, I've been in all sides of wine marketing, from the producer side, on the wine bar, you know, retail side. I've been working with an importer too. And I've been on the marketing, digital marketing agency kind of side. So I've seen a little bit of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
The agency was running in 2017 and I've been running it for 7 years. So we've been working, you know, with that for 7 years now. And recently, my last kind of, you know, wine experience, let's say, is that I started importing my family's wine to the UK last year. So that's why you can see, you know, I'm a director at Cabrini Wines, which is the company here in the UK that is, we're basically acting as an importer of the wines in the UK. And then we are just, you know, distributing them.
Yeah.
So that's who I am.
That's your story in a brief. Yes. Yeah. It's very funny because in many ways we have a very similar story. So I'm an immigrant myself as well. I moved to the UK when I was 25 as well. And yeah, we're pretty much doing the same thing. So, or not the same thing, but similar things. And we both were involved or are involved in wine import, digital marketing, and working with wineries and representing them. But, and as we discussed before, we both have daughters. We both live in West London. We both have dogs as well. So it's like, you know, we could be twins. There we go.
My brothers.
Yes. But anyway, shall we talk about the sort of because you are very much focused on social media, especially in the beginning, in terms of wine brands, what are the do's and don'ts on social media? What you see are trends, and how would you approach the social media part of wine to start with, let's say?
I think that the main thing that I always ask, you know, when people come to us and say, like, look, we want to, because everyone now, you know, when I started the agency, no one really kind of cared about social media, or like, they were kind of, the wine industry has always been very old school and very, you know, like, not really caring too much about these digital things and like posting, because, you know, some people think that it's just about posting pretty pictures on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the main question that we always ask is, what do you actually want to get out of this? You need to, I think brands, this is one of the do's, let's say, you need to really know what you want to achieve with your social media presence. Why are you doing it? You know, like, why are you really, do you want to be there just because everyone else is doing it and you think you are missing out? Or you want to be there because you have a clear plan and this is how we're going to do it. And this, you know, like, you need to understand what can be done with social media and what can't. If you're looking, you know, for quick sales and driving more, you know, online sales or whatever in the next couple of weeks, and you start posting on Instagram, it's just not going to happen. So it's a lot. I think the main thing that the brands, any brand, but obviously wine brands, now we're talking about wine brands, need to know is, what do you actually want to get from this? And then once you know that, we, you know, we can discuss how do we get there and what tools do we use, and, you know, what platforms, and we're talking about social media now. So it depends a lot on your skill set too, your budget, you know, where are you based? What are your objectives? You know, some brands, if you have a new brand and your objective is to just open some new accounts and like try to sell wine to, you know, to retailers, or you want to sell online, or you want to do a little bit of both, or you're an established brand and you already have, like, you know, importers in like 30 different countries, that the strategy and what we'll do is completely different to what we'll do for a new brand.
Exactly. And in terms of don'ts, my number one thing, which I always say to clients or anyone who asks me what you don't do on social media, is go in and start selling immediately. I mean, for me, it's never been a sales tool. It's more of a brand awareness tool. People argue whether we can sell or can't sell on social, but I think in many cases, I think we can sell on social media, but it's a subtle way of doing it. And it's obviously, it has to be part of a bigger strategy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. In terms of organic, if we're talking about organic social, then yes, because you know, you can't always be pushing product and trying to sell on every post, you know, like trying to just push sales all the time. I think there is a specific place to do that, which is with paid ads, you know, like with social media advertising. That's another story. But in terms of social, you need to, this is a place where, you know, you can build a community, that you can talk to people, you can communicate with people. And the problem that I see sometimes is that people or brands, you know, they are too impatient. And look, I've been there. Sometimes you just need to sell stuff, and that's how that's how you survive, because this is something no one wants to talk about. But actually, businesses need to make money to survive and to thrive, you know. So we are talking about something that the end goal needs to be that. Now the question is how you get there. So I think one of the, you know, that's kind of like, yes, you can be pushing product all the time, and need to be doing the right thing. And I think one of the main don'ts also, and this is something that you can't really track, is attribution nowadays. You know, it's like a little bit of a mess. So even if you were generating sales, like someone, you know, you sold something through using an email marketing, for example, but you were, the person that purchased was following you, you know, for like 3 months on social, and they were engaging with your posts, and they were, you know, like commenting on your posts and like posting about your wine. And then, you know, you send an email and they purchase from the email, and your attribution tool will tell you this sale came from the email. So you would say like, oh, we need to double down on email because this is what sold, you know, this is what actually generated some sales. But what you can't see is that this person was actually like following you and like engaging with your content for 3 months. So then when you look at attribution, then you say like, how, well, if you look at the attribution tools, you say like, well, it's a waste of like social, organic social is a waste of time. Let's not do it. Let's just do email. But that's not how it works, you know?
Yes.
So it's a very, it's not straight. It's not a straightforward, it's not a, it's not math, you know? Marketing is a different story.
Yes, I always think about this, and I probably talked about this before on whether it was on LinkedIn Live or whether it was on my podcast. But I always talk about this, that we always have to see this as a bigger picture, because just social doesn't work. Just email doesn't work. Just the website doesn't work. Everything has to be connected, and you have to understand the customer's journey. You have to understand how to read the analytics report. And it's also, as you said, it's not mathematics. It's more, in many ways, it's, you have to understand how people think and how you have to understand how the end customer will get to you and what you have to do in order to help that end customer to get to your place. And you mentioned something earlier about email marketing, and I think that's very often an underrated tool, but I think it is very important in the digital world. But how do you grow your mailing list to start with? Because that's number one question in many people's mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think the best way to do this is to actually send great content. This is the same with wine. You know, if you don't have a good wine, it doesn't matter, you know, how good your socials are or how good your posts are. That we need to go to the root. What's the core of this? If you're sending emails, your content needs to be great. That's the first step. Then people will share it. Then people will stay with the in the list. Then everything else will be better if your content is great. If your content is not great, it doesn't matter how many hacks I tell you today or whatever. It's not going to work. So that's the step number one, I would say. First of all, you need to make sure that what you're sending, you're not sending offers all the time, and you are sending actually something interesting for people, for, you know, people that are following you or, you know, subscribe to your newsletter. That's step number one. Step number two, I think, consistency. So, you know, give people what they, some kind of consistency, you know, like they know you're going to send an email every month, send an email every month. They know that you're going to send an email every week, send an email every week. You can then change and send more during certain periods where you have a sale or where you have something additional to say. But I think you need to have a baseline where you say, like, at least I'm going to send this at least X amount of times per month. So consistency, it's definitely very important. And then I think in terms of actually growing your mailing list, or how do you get more subscribers, I think it's very important to, you know, mention it on your content when you're posting on social, when you're posting on you know, different channels that you are utilizing. Mention it when you are sending, you know, wine to customers. If you're selling direct to consumer or anything like that, make sure that you have a brochure or something, some kind of like a postcard or something that mentions, sign up for this. You can also have, you know, discounts and like kind of some kind of, you need to
basically
give them some
lead magnets. So something why they sign up for, right?
Exactly. There needs to be a reason why. But again, like if you already have great content, this is why I said like number one thing is, you need to actually send something that they want to read, you know? And then obviously, you can do discounts. You can even give them a certain, it doesn't need to be a discount, but maybe like a free wine on your next order or some kind of benefit for them to have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a very tricky game. And one of my clients is actually sending emails every day. I think it's way too much. It's way too much personally, and I can't talk them out of it. It's a very tricky balance because it's also depends on who is the client or how is your audience is set up. Because, for example, this particular client sends email daily and always some sort of a discount. And it almost feels like we're always in a discount mode. And then suddenly stop giving them discounts. And then suddenly everything drops because your whole mailing list is sort of set up for a discount focus. And then suddenly you end up scrapping the discounts and you expecting them to react the same way. It's obviously not going to happen, is it? What do you think in terms of frequency? Obviously, I think there's no argument. I don't like the fact that we want to send emails daily. But what would you say is the good frequency for a, like Cabrini Wines, a small family winery? What would be your sort of take on that?
For a small family winery, I would say like once a month, I would say something, because you probably don't have that much stuff going on, you know, as a small family winery. Now, you can, we work with some brands that we're sending emails weekly, for example, but they actually have a lot more stuff going on in terms of like events, and they are doing this and that. And obviously there's always something happening, and it's not about discounting or sales. It's more about like telling people what they are doing. And then again, like you could do more than that. Once a day, it's too much, 100%. But like, I think we go back to kind of what I was saying before, is like, you need to, like the content needs to be good and you need to have something to say. So it depends on, I would reframe the question and say, not how many, you know, what's the optimal sending?
The frequency.
What's the optimal frequency? It's not about a number that's a blanket number for everyone. It's more about like a specific situation and a specific company and brand, how much they have going on. And then, you could set more or less depending on that.
So basically every client is different, isn't it? I mean, some clients have a lot going on and a lot of content which they can produce and the quality is good, then they obviously can send a lot more. If the client doesn't really have a ton of news to share, a ton of, you know, additional value to give, then it's probably too many. But the aim with the emails, obviously, is you want to get them on your website, which is your sort of checkout place. And that's my next question, really, is why do you need a good website? Maybe I should reframe the question and say, what is a good website? What a good website needs to do in digital marketing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, here it also depends on what your objective is. And I think this is taking me also back to kind of like do's and don'ts. But instead of being do's and don'ts for social media, I would say do's and don'ts of digital marketing or marketing in general, is that you need to know, again, like what you want to achieve and like in the long run, not in the next couple of weeks, not in the next month. I'm talking about what do you want to do in the next year, 2 years, 5 years? What is your 5-year plan? Because again, like if you have someone sending emails all the time with discounts, then that's a short-term kind of decision that will affect you in the future. Yeah. So you need to think about, you know, the long-term. Am I doing this to get some quick money now so that I can pay some bills? And then what's going to happen later, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the same for the website. Like going back to the website now, I think you brands need to understand exactly what they want to do and not just try to do everything. And just say like, look, some brands are going to be interested in selling online and generating some, you know, sales to the end consumer, like a direct to consumer operation that has its, you know, it's quite difficult to do, if especially here in the UK, you know, it's very expensive in terms of shipping costs and, you know, margins are very low unless you have a massive volume. So you need to understand exactly, okay, what is my strategy? Do I want to grow my DTC, you know, offering, or do I want to, you know, sell to the trade and then that's it? So then that's the question, like what is a good website? It will depend. If you're trying to sell online, you know, I would recommend using something like Shopify for sure. It's like the best, probably easiest to work with. You don't need a developer to do that. You don't need to spend a lot of money doing it. Obviously, you can also customize it, and then depending on your volumes and like how much you're selling, you can get a little more, you can a little bit more premium, a little bit more different things that you can add. But for a simple website, you know, Shopify, simple or complex, Shopify would be my preferred, you know, choice for an online store. And then if you want to sell to the trade, for example, you don't need a super complex website. You don't need to add too much information about everything. And you can just do, you know, like kind of like a Squarespace site or something like that. You don't need to spend 10K or 20K on a website to start with. You know, you can actually build it yourself if you spend some time. And if you have a little bit of a good eye for detail, you could technically start like that. So, it's about like think about who your target audience is. So if your target audience are like consumers, then you need to give information that is more, interesting for consumers. If your target audience is the trade, then maybe your messaging will be a little bit different on the website.
I always look at this from an angle where if I just want to try to give somebody a generic answer about this or similar questions, for me, a website, the idea is that the website doesn't have to sing and dance. I think the website has to be easily understandable. It has to be landing people where they have to land. So if you're trying to sell wine, you don't want to, you know, disturb the customer with lots of additional information about other things, what you're trying to do. You have to have a focus what you want to do. So if you're selling wine, the customer ends up on your page and it has to end up at the right place and have to make it easy for a customer or a potential customer to actually purchase. And I had an ex-colleague, we were talking about wine retail, and he said the biggest problem with wine retailers often is that they always want to look different and they always try to do stand out and this and that. But what they actually achieving is that they're putting barriers in front of customers. So the customers actually have to jump over the barriers in order to get to what they want. They want a good bottle of wine. That's what they want. They don't want anything else. Yeah. And I think if we get rid of the barriers and just make it easy for customers to do what they want, that's the aim. Everything else is secondary on the website, in my view, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think it depends again on the if you're having like an online store or it's more like a shop window kind of website, but definitely I think sometimes wine brands do this and marketers do this too, you know, like some ads are created for marketers more than for the actual consumer. Yeah, the same with wines. Sometimes wines are created for or like are marketed like everyone knows what we're talking about, and 90% of the people that are probably going to be buying your wine don't know anything about wine. So why are we talking about technicalities and things like that when people have no clue about what we're talking about, you know?
Exactly.
But this is everywhere. It's not just the wine industry. And it's about thinking about how this your customer is going to buy the wine instead of doing whatever you think you should be doing because you like it that way and because you think you should be talking about everything you do in the vineyard and everything you do this and that. And then sometimes you just need to tell them, this is the wine, this is the price, this is how it tastes, and you can pair it with this. That's it.
Yes, you know? I think, keep it simple. And that's often the case. And you probably know it better because you deal with not just wine brands, but other brands as well. But definitely in the wine industry, it's often the case that you actually end up, you know, talking too much about the soil types and this and that, and people don't understand what's the difference between chalky soil and sandy soil, and they probably don't even care, to be honest. At the end, they care about the price, the quality of the wine, and the experience what they're having while they go on the website and shop, for example, those wines. Because if you end up on the website and every second time some offer pops up or sign up for my newsletter or this and that, and then like after the third one, when you're knocking them off all the time, you get pissed off and you're just going to say, okay, you know what? I'm going somewhere else and buy somewhere else. So I think and that's probably one of the key things for website. In terms of website, you mentioned something before when we were talking about this, that you're not really an SEO person. And I have to admit, I'm not an SEO person either. But shall we talk a little bit about the basics of SEO? Because people think it's an overly complicated thing. But again, that in many ways, I think it goes back to the same sort of idea that we have to keep it simple. And in many ways, I think the basics of SEO is very much about how quick your website, how easy to get to it, how easy to find things on it. So what do you say about SEO if a client asks you?
If a client asks me, I'll refer them to someone else. But if they ask me, I'll tell you what I think about SEO and how it affects, you know, our performance when we do, you know, we have a client that we are doing paid social for. It's not a one client, but it's kind of like it's relevant. The conversation is relevant. And this client has a very strong SEO. You know, they have a freelancer kind of like taking care of that all the, like, basically on a rolling basis. So they are always doing some things here and there. And the way it helps us in terms of helps the business, you know, in general, not us as an agency, like our client as a business, is because when we are, you know, advertising, we're actually paying to acquire those customers. But now when you have a strong organic traffic on your website, which is generated a lot by SEO, SEO, you know, it basically helps you rank higher on Google and people find you organically, which means that they are not actually, you're not paying to acquire those customers. That means that the mix in the end, when you look at the mix of, you know, you can look at how many customers you acquire with paid social, and you can say like, okay, I paid, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds per customer on this account. But we also got, and we got, let's say, 1,000 customers, but we also got 100 that came from SEO, that came free, you know, of charge. So that, what happens is that the cost of acquisition goes down, the blended or the MER, you call it, the blended cost of acquisition goes down and your MER goes up, or your ROAS in general goes up, because you are acquiring some customers for free and some and paying for some others. So I think it is important, but again, it's just about what you are going to use, what are your strengths, you know, what are you going to use to market your wise. If you're very good at SEO, you know, maybe you can start with SEO and just like try to get people finding you online and trying to buy your wines online. I wouldn't, just because of my experience and my expertise is not in SEO, I usually try to go for more like an organic social presence. And I think that's how people are buying today and like finding stuff. But again, I think it depends on, you know, your product too. If you're having like a more like a high end, you know, fine wine that you're selling, you probably, no one is kind of like, or less people are buying via SEO. Some, you know, they're not going to find your wine by looking for fine wine. When you look for fine wine, it's probably someone that you know, that you have seen or you have tasted before. So the journey to get to you is completely different. Now, if you're looking for, searching for wine, red wine for a party, and you have like an entry-level wine that is kind of like, you know, like £8 or whatever, well, maybe SEO is going to be a lot more important for you. In my opinion.
And also, just to actually go on the other side, because you mentioned that if you're selling fine wine, SEO is probably not going to be that important in terms of what the customer journey starts with. And also, if you're starting to sell, let's say, some quirky wines, wine in cans or anything, there is another theory that search is changing generally. So because the younger audience is searching more on social platforms like TikTok, and it's more it's not necessarily people like to know the brand first, and they trust the brand, and then they actually buy the product. I think it's probably, I don't like to say this, but I often say this, it's probably getting a little bit more irrelevant nowadays for certain brands. But I'm guessing search engine optimization experts probably would kill me now for this. But I think that's my feeling as well. And obviously, with AI coming into the picture as well, it's going to be very different.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've spoken to people that are actually making a lot of money with SEO, you know, organic traffic. And these are kind of like more old school sites that it was a pet brand, actually. Not wine again, but like it was and they were making around, I think they were selling around 400k a year or something like that online, all organic. So this is kind of like, you know, free traffic coming to your site and buying without really doing anything. You know, we're not actually spending any money on ads. Obviously they were probably paying, you know, someone to do the SEO for them. The thing is, like, how do you scale that, you know? And like, how do you get that the same return? So that's not scalable in the same way that paid social is scalable, for example. So then you need to, that's why it's important to have a mix of things. And look, in an ideal world, you should be doing everything. You should be doing SEO, you should be doing Google Ads, you should be doing paid social, you should be doing email marketing, you should be doing social media, you should be doing everything, organic social, you know, everything. But obviously resources are limited, so that's where companies need to understand. That's why companies need to understand exactly, you know, what they want to do, and also, you know, what they actually can afford to do. Not only in terms of budget, but also in terms of time. Like, you have people on your team to actually do this, or you need to hire an agency. If you need to hire an agency, do you actually have the money to pay an agency? Or do you need to start with just do organic social, do it really well, and, you know, or just don't do anything and just go to face-to-face and meet people face-to-face old school way, and you'll sell wine too, you know? So it's not, there's not like a silver bullet that everyone, apply for everyone.
I was hoping that you're going to give me the silver bullet now, because then I can go to all my clients and say, this is what you have to do. But unfortunately you don't have it either. Okay. One thing I wanted to go back to very briefly, you mentioned time. And again, this is something what people don't understand. Sometimes wine companies and wine brands see this social media and generally digital marketing, but more social media, I think, and SEO as well. How much time it actually takes to create all that content, how much time you have to work on it, because people often see that, okay, I have an employee who, you know, they don't have to do the wine delivery today, so he can actually sit in and do the social media. And I think that's often a case in wine world, but, you know, and I think that's very underestimated as well. And that's what I try to explain to people very often, that, you know, SEO, social media, whatever you do, is time consuming, and time is money, regardless whether you, you know, letting the delivery driver do the social media, or, you know, the wine salesperson to do the SEO. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's probably not as, you know, proactive approach. I don't know.
I mean, I've seen that obviously since forever, since I started the agency and before. I just give it to the intern, you know, that's it. And the thing here is, I think that's also kind of like a do's and don'ts that I would go, going back to do's and don'ts of social media. I would say, if you're not going to do it properly, you should be doing the bare minimum. So don't go in the middle. Don't go and say like, oh, well, we're going to hire an agency, but we don't want to pay them too much, so we're going to do only like a few posts, and we're not going to really, we're just going to be posting nice pictures on Instagram. That's not going to work. It's better if you just say like, well, we're just going to do it ourselves, and we'll, you know, whatever, like just spend the bare minimum time on it, or go and do it properly. If you want to do it properly. If not, it's better to just not spend any money or time on it. But also, if you're not going to do it properly, don't expect, you know, the results that you get from a proper social strategy, you know?
Yes, exactly. I couldn't agree more, because the problem is, I've seen this many, many times. And even in my case as well, very often, you know, I get hired to just do X number of posts a week. And it's like, yes, but that doesn't move the needle, and you're still paying me, and you're still paying everything else, you know, a scheduler tool, you're using loads of different things, you have to have a Canva subscription to do some stuff, and all this thing is money. And I couldn't agree more that you either do the bare minimum and do it yourself and do it in your free time whenever, or hire somebody who actually does it for you, and then listen to that person if they know what they're talking about. But in the middle is almost like a waste of time in many cases. What One more sort of subject or topic to discuss is ads, because you recently started to do paid social for your clients, although I believe they are not your wine clients, as far as I understand, but you have a bit more insight to this now than before. How much is much and how much is not enough? And do we have to do this? Do we not? What's the thing?
Yeah. So I my first experience with ads was actually for a food brand that I used to run. That was in 2020, so 4 years ago. That was kind of like my first real experience with ads, which we were actually spending our own money on ads. So that's kind of like different to spending other people's money on your own ads. Yes. So
we were like really, you know,
that's fine. We needed to really make sure, you know, that we were spending the, you know, every penny that we spend need to be spent in the right place and return certain amount of money, you know, otherwise it didn't work. So that was my first experience then. And then, you know, because I was doing it for myself in a separate business to the agency, we started offering it as a service for our clients. Now, the paid social, or, you know, paid, we're talking about ads, is not necessarily only paid social. It could be like Google Ads too, paid media in general. I think there needs to be an understanding from the client side, or from your, you know, whoever wants to do this, about two different things. One of them is what the possibilities are, because again, like sometimes we get people saying, well, I want to spend £10,000, but I want to return £100,000. Well, that doesn't work like that, my friend, you know. Otherwise, I'll be a millionaire. We'll be printing money, you know. That's not how it works. So you need to be, you know, you need to know, if we could do this, you know, we wouldn't be doing this. We would be like doing it for ourselves, and like that's it. So that's not, anyone who tells you they can do that, they are lying, you know, because obviously this is not like you put one and then you get 10. There's a lot of factors that affect that. And then that's thing number one. You can look at your, you know, past performance in terms of, you know, if you have always achieved a ROAS of 2.5 and you're actually doing a good job, or a ROAS of 3, let's say, or a ROAS of 2, whatever it is, and you are doing a good job, it is very difficult that you're going to go from a ROAS of 2.5 to a ROAS of 5 unless something really, you do something completely different and the approach is, you know, or you go viral or something, you know, like there needs to be an extreme thing happening for you to go from 2 to 5, you know. Unless you were hitting a ROAS of 2 with a really bad strategy, you know, in that case, yeah, maybe you can do that. But usually you can look at performance from before and you can tell how much, you know, what can be achievable. Not extreme things, you know, don't think about like 10 ROAS, 20 ROAS, that's all, you know, it's impossible. Not impossible, but like very unlikely that it happens for 99% of the brands. The second most really important thing that brands need to think about, that I think lots of brands don't understand, is how the financials, you need to understand the financials of every order, everything you sell. So if you need to understand your average order value, you need to understand your margins. So you need to have a very, very clear understanding of how much money are you actually making every time you sell something. Because this is something that lots of founders have no idea about, or lots of brands don't know about. They say like, okay, you know, the wine I pay, you know, I pay £5 for this wine and I sell it for 10. And then my margin is 50%. No, that's not the margin, because you need to think about delivery. You need to think about the processing fees. You need to think about all of your, you know, different costs, the cost of what is called cost of delivery. So your margin ends up being, you know,
5%.
And then you say like, okay, £1. If your margin is £1, then that means that you need to spend, if you spend £3 to acquire a customer,
then you lost money.
Yeah. So, and then some people are like, no, but you know, like if I acquire a customer, then I have like, they are, the lifetime value of this customer is 3 orders. So it doesn't matter if I lose money first, I can still get it back, you know, in three orders because they're going to buy more because, we're going to acquire. But then sometimes that doesn't happen. Or even if it happens, then you have a cash flow issue. And then wine companies are very bad at cash flow. So then you need to start thinking about cash flow. That there's a lot of things. And we are not even talking about marketing yet. So you can see how tricky it is. It's not like a straightforward process that anyone can just go and turn on the ads and print money, you know?
Yeah.
This is you need to really understand your financials and your numbers to be able to tell, is it actually viable for us, you know? If your margins are less than 50%, it is going to be very difficult for you to make paid social work for your brand. And this is like most wine brands. Unfortunately, wine is like a very bad business in terms of margins. Margins are very tight for everyone. It's very difficult to get, you know, like a 50% margin as a wine brand. So this is why I believe unless you're selling a lot of wine and you have, you know, like a very big portfolio of wines and you need to be selling a lot of wine to make money with ads at a 30% or 20% margin, you know, which is probably what most brands are operating at.
Yes. And when we are talking about paid ads, it's not just paid social, it could be Google and everything else. And what you just explained is a very good explanation of how complex everything is, because as you mentioned, that's not even marketing. And then for all this, when you build, you know, a campaign and you're spending money on paid social, for example, you have to put everything else in place, because once you landed a client, the client has to land on a good website.
Yeah.
You have to be able to hopefully sign that client up for your mailing list so you can retarget your client or your customer with a second offer. So that's where mailing lists are even more complicated, because you have to have good, you know, flows. So when somebody lands on your emails, then you have to send them offers. You have to have lead magnets in place and everything else around it. So it's a very, very complex and big task. One thing we discussed a couple of weeks ago with another person, with another marketer, about influencer marketing. And obviously, I don't want to go too deep into this, but in terms of ads and influencer marketing, again, two different things. But if wine brand only has a certain amount of money, which way would you go? Would you go more into influencer marketing and pay for that? Or would you go more into paid ads and sort of see the analytics a bit more clearer, probably?
I would definitely, if I had to choose between one and another, I would go for influencer marketing. But again, it just depends on if your objective is to, you know, generate sales online. And well, maybe it's better to go for paid social if you had to choose. You know, obviously it would be great to do both. Again, like, you should be doing everything if you can, but not everyone can. So I would go for influencer marketing. But again, like, here what I would say is, again, brands need to know exactly what they want to get out of it.
Yeah.
Do you want to get, why are you working with influencers? You know, that's the question I always ask. Do you want to work with influencers because you need more content? Because, you know, maybe you need more content and then it's just about like getting free content, or like just send them some samples and then they will create some content for you for free, which is achievable. We've done it many times. Or you want to do like a campaign with like a single influencer for a long time, or you want to increase sales, or, you know, you want to tap into their audience because they are, you know, part of a community that you want to be a part of or whatever. So there are many objectives and things you can achieve with this. Now the question is which one it is. And then once you know what you want to achieve, then you say, okay, this is the type of influencer. We talk about influencers, but it could be like a smaller kind of content creator. If you actually need, if you need content, then you don't need to go for an influencer with 50K or 100K followers. You can work with someone with 300 followers that creates great content, and that's it. So I would definitely probably do that if I had to choose for a wine brand.
I think it's, as we discussed and as you explained it quite well, it's a very complicated subject. generally. And I think it's a very underestimated subject as well in terms of how complicated it is, how much time it takes to actually create all this, not just, we're not talking about a good looking reel on Instagram. Yeah. We're talking about a lot more, which works around everything else. But yeah, hopefully some people get some value out of it. The call to action here is to drop us a message or just comment on the post itself. And I'm sure either Leandro or myself will get back to you with some hopefully useful answers. But yeah, mate, thank you very much for joining me today. I think you dropped a lot of important bombs down there. And hopefully we didn't confuse people more. And we cleared out some...
Hopefully some, not. Good stuff. Thank you so much for having me, mate. And well, hopefully, yeah, we had some useful information for people out there.
Yeah, exactly. And guys, please reach out to us. We're both very happy to help. We both social people, social media people as well, but social people on the first place. So anyway, guys, I hope to see you all on the next one. See you guys
Thank
later.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.